You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
One of the other things I wanted to do before I started out today to teach is to spend time teaching you about how I teach and why I teach and the way I teach. And so, not that this is a master's class, but more like a kindergarten class on how to color. Let me share with you some of the things that I do and the process that I go through before I come up and teach. And one of the things that I do before whoever's leading worship says, and now Pastor Nathan's going to come up and teach, let's pray for him. One of the things that I do is I just stop and I say, God, I'm available to you. Do whatever you want with me. And so that's a prayer that I say and that I communicate to God, that when I come up here to teach to you guys, I pray very little of Nathan is up here. I pray a lot of what God wants to say and what God wants to do is what comes out of me. Because I know in all reality, if you get anything of Nathan, it's an absolute waste. And it absolutely will burn and it's not eternal. But if you can get from the Holy Spirit, if you can get from God, if that can be something that I can give, then this is an absolute benefit. And this is something I want to be a part of. The other thing that I do, whether Chelsea is teaching or Nick is teaching or Dom or Pastor Mike or somebody else has come up, or I'm listening to a podcast or I'm listening to somebody else open up the Word of God and teach, there's also a prayer that I do that I sit there and I pray, God, would you please speak to me? That God, whenever the Word of God is opened, whenever your scriptures are taught, that your Holy Spirit would teach me. And so those are the two prayers that I want to start out with today. That I'm going to pray my prayer, and I pray that you pray your prayer, that you would pray, God, if the Word of God is open to me, would you please teach me what I need to see? So let's pray together, okay? Heavenly Father, I pray that, God, it's not me. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and inhabit the words that are going to come out of my mouth, that your Spirit would inhabit the hearts of the people who are listening. And God, you would direct me and them to all truth that is eternal, that is good for righteousness, that is good to build us up, that is good for sanctification, that is good for us to be your kids and to become what you want us to be. So Heavenly Father, I commit myself to you and give myself to you. Speak, do what you want, go where you want. God, I've got plans that I feel that you've set aside inside of the scriptures and the outline that I have, but God, go wherever you want to go. And Father, for those of us who are sitting and listening to the Word of God, and that includes me while I'm preaching, that God, my heart would be open to what you want to teach, that my heart would be open to learn what you want me to learn, and that God, as we sit at the feet of the great teacher, which is you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we would learn. It's in your name, God, we pray. Amen. So this week, man, I was incredibly frustrated preparing to teach. This week, the sermon and everything goes against all the things that I'm trying to do and all the things that I'm trying to communicate and all the ways that I've tried to grow as a teacher. And this sermon this week has just frustrated me. I want to be totally honest with you. In other words, this sermon doesn't fit in a nice little 3 points with an application at the very end, and 8 little verses fit in because I want to make it very simple on me who builds the slides, that I don't want to spend massive amounts of time building slides that go underneath, and the poor slide person has to click all the slides and they don't even learn the sermon because they're so worried about what button to click. And so as I came into this, I have been working so hard to break down Acts chapter 10 into 10 verses that we need to look at. And God's just like, you got to read the whole chapter. And I was like, God, that's not fun. I don't like reading a whole chapter. I like making it a little bit simpler because there's so much in this chapter. God, do you realize this chapter could be 10 weeks sermon series? And God's like, yeah, absolutely. This could be a lifetime of just focusing on chapter 10. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to walk through and I'm going to read to you Acts chapter 10. It was funny. David McDonald, who's here in the church and he's here in the mini church, every week he asks, what are the verses? Because he cuts and pastes them and he puts them in a special document that he can make notes on, stuff like that. And he leans over to me and he says, Nathan, what are the verses today? And I said, chapter 10. He says, right, I know it's in chapter 10. What are the verses today? And I said to him, chapter 10. That's why I'm so focused right now. I've got a lot of verses to teach through today. It's not just 10 verses. I've got a lot. So if you have your Bibles, I hope you do, walk along with me. The verses are not going to be on the screen today. There's just way too many. And so let me be super honest with you. For many of you, by this time, you should be able to open a digital Bible, or you should be able to have a paper Bible in front of you. If you're a brand new Christian and you're watching this for the first time, don't worry about it. I'm going to read all of it to you. It's going to be like it was thousands and thousands of years ago before we had the printing press, before we had books in front of us. You had to sit and listen, just like when we were in kindergarten, listening to a story for the first time. I'd love for you to sit and listen to this story. So let me take away all the stress. Just relax. Just breathe. I know I'm breaking all the rules, Chelsea, that I've been teaching you on how to teach. Just slow down for a second. And what I'm trying to do is bring you guys into the process of what does it look like to teach the Word of God. And so before I jump into 10, I wanted to prep you guys with that. Still going to do what's an introduction to get you guys excited about what I'm going to teach. And what I want to share with you guys is that for the longest time, I've known that I'm a teacher. I've known that I'm somebody who can take a concept and show it to somebody else and give them the ability to go and do it and repeat that on their own. That whatever it is that I learn, I can turn around and teach somebody else how to do what I'm doing. And one of the reasons why I've learned that is because learning was always difficult for me. Learning was a painful process. And let me help you out. One of the things that I've learned about is teachers, and the good teachers are the people who struggled to figure out the concept. In other words, it didn't come naturally to them. It wasn't intuitive for them to be able to do this concept. And sorry, I'm going to be super honest. For people that things come to them intuitively and easily, they're not good teachers. Because they turn to you and they go, no, you just do it. And you're like, right, but how? And they're like, you just do it. And I remember in college, I had this brilliant mathematician, and you guys know me, times eights in math, not good. And he's working with me after class, and he's doing this big, huge, massive problem, and he's flipping things, and he's breaking down fractions, and he's multiplying things out, and he's changing terms, and he's moving them back across, and he's like, see, that's how you do it. And I was just like, oh, yeah, that's phenomenal. Can you take the test for me? Because I still have no idea what you're talking about. And so one of the things that I learned when I went through college was I went through and I studied how to teach. And what was super fun about studying how to teach was I even went through a fifth-year program after my college and then spent even more time learning how to teach specific subjects. And then what was even more fun was is that I got the opportunity to go student teach under two amazing master teachers. That these two teachers were insanely gifted. And I had all this theory, and I was 20 years old, which meant I knew everything if you've ever met a 20-year-old. And I walked into that, and one of the things that one of my other teachers and instructors told me was, Nathan, when you go in with a learner's heart. And that's something that Chelsea has taught. In other words, come to it for the first time as if you don't know. In other words, go into these classes with these two amazing master teachers and let them teach you how to teach. Don't try to show them what you know. Don't go in with your pride. Don't try to prove to them that you're a good teacher. My overseer that was looking at me said, look, you can teach. You're an amazing teacher. And these two master teachers teach a completely different style than you. Learn from them. Learn their style. Steal from them. Pay attention from them. Sit as long as you can and observe them. And I did. Two amazingly gifted teachers that I am nothing like. One teacher absolutely involved art in every single subject that she taught. If you've been around me, you know I'm not an artist. You know that a stick figure with a circle head and maybe some legs, and if I'm going to make it a girl, I'll put a triangle dress on the thing. Okay, that's about all that I've got. And I watched this teacher show these children to learn through art and to love math as art was brought in, to love reading, to love social studies, to love science, to love all these things because it was kinesthetic. And I watched her teach these kids to touch and feel and learn. And that was mind-blowing. And then my other master teacher taught me how to empower people to fail. And in failure, they would learn. But the key in failure was encouraging them and loving them through the process, that they wouldn't lose heart, but they would keep trying. And what I want to share with you guys is that being teachable is so important. And one of the biggest problems that we have among Christians is we're arrogant. We're pushy. We use the words, I know, which is, let me help you out, super dangerous. Because if you're saying, I know, and your body and your words and your actions don't match your knowledge, that's called sin. So when you say, I know, and you're not doing it, you're saying, I'm a sinner, and I'm just adding up more stuff I have to repent on. Jesus doesn't do that to the disciples when he's the great teacher. I'll get to that in a second. He doesn't push to them to say, I know. He doesn't get them to fall into more sin. That's not what the master teacher does. Go back and read the Gospels and see Jesus as a teacher and see the disciples and everybody else as students and watch the way that he teaches. See the different styles that he uses. It's amazing and it's mind-blowing what Jesus does. One of the things when I was younger, I remember my grandfather who passed away this year, teaching me something really important. I remember as a teenager, my grandfather came to me and said, never think that you've mastered a tool. I did a lot of work with my grandfather. I helped him build 2 homes. I helped him re-roof things all over the place. I helped him in Japan build a missionary home and a church from foundation all the way to finish work, and realized I don't like finish work. That's for those of you who've done finished work, you know what I'm talking about. But what happened in this process was my grandfather was saying, you're working with very dangerous tools. And when you don't respect them and you don't slow down and you don't work cautiously around them, you lose fingers. You lose arms. You lose your life. You fall off roofs and you get dead. What my grandfather was trying to teach me was respect the tools you're using and never, never believe you have mastery on it. Always believe you can learn something else and approach it to learn even more. The other thing that I've learned is to be excited to learn. I used to, when I was younger, be upset because my grades would come back and they would reflect that clearly I didn't master the information the teacher gave me. And I felt like I was trying to earn the A. But let me help you guys out. Earning the A does nothing for you. Getting that letter on your paper does nothing for you. Here's why. You're still not happy. You're still not joyful. You're not thankful. And you're not a positive person to be around. You're still chasing perfection, and you don't feel you're enough, you don't feel you're good enough, and you're constantly striving for more, greater, higher, bigger, faster, which is called greed and lust. In other words, you're sinning. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting a good grade. The issue is are you excited to learn? Are you happy to be shown something else that you don't know? Is it okay for you to be a kindergartner again, even though you're 50? Is it okay for you to be exposed to something that you have no idea what to do? And that brings me back to my grandfather again that I'll talk about. One of the things I loved about my grandfather is he always had the newest technology. And if you think about that, the newest technology means you're learning something you don't know what to do. You're learning to work with an object that has a new way to work with objects, and it has basic stuff you've always done, but it's just put it in different places that you can't see. And you've got to figure out how to get through the menus to find those things, which takes work and effort. And what I want to encourage you guys is to enjoy the process of learning. Yes, it takes work and effort, but let's be lifelong learners. Let's believe that if we love God, he will constantly show us more and more. And that brings me to Acts chapter 10. Peter spent 2.5 years with Jesus. You think Jesus would have taught him everything he needed to know. But no, Peter still is on a lifelong journey, and God is going to continue to show him new things until the king takes him home. Let's jump into Acts chapter 10 together. Acts chapter 10 and verse 1 starts out, At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. A devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related to them everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. Oh, I want to stop and preach, but I can't. Verse 9. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on his housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance. And he saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again a second time. What God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. I want to preach again. Verse 17. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that they had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright, God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and for some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and he had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, Stand up, I too am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I ask then why you sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house, and at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa, and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Oh, I want to preach. Here comes verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of that he did both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Oh, I want to preach. Verse 44. But while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow, so much is going on. But before I talk about chapter 10, let's talk about chapter 9. You see, chapter 10 and chapter 9 compare and contrast. Chapter 10 and chapter 9 show how two amazing leaders who have gone through massive amounts of training still have to learn. You have Paul, who was originally Saul, who's in chapter 9, who was underneath one of the greatest rabbis to ever teach. In other words, Saul went to Oxford. And not only did Saul go to Oxford, but Saul learned from the president of Oxford. He sat underneath the teaching of this president. In other words, Saul was so brilliant, he got into Oxford. That's how brilliant Saul is. We're not talking Ivy League schools. We're not talking about maybe Yale or Harvard or Princeton, because those are some pretty big schools. We're talking about Oxford. To get in there, you got to be the brilliant of the brilliant or be the connected of the connected. And Saul was brilliant. But yet, he had so much more to learn. Saul was trained in all the ways of being a Jewish leader. He was trained in how to be a leader of leaders. He was trained how to oversee and all the laws and how to keep them and how to teach other people, how to stand, how to walk, how to present yourself, how to live. He was absolutely trained, a lot like Cornelius as a person inside of the military. And yet Jesus comes to him and says, "What in the world are you doing? You got to go a different direction." And the question for Paul when he was Saul was, are you teachable? Are you still willing to learn? But we can see how prideful he was, because God had to bring a pretty big issue into his life for him to be willing to learn. And then we come to Peter. Peter on the other side, who had spent 2.5 years walking with Jesus, an unlearned man, a man who came from Galilee that was a fisherman, that even when he was in front of the Sanhedrin, when he was before the high priest, they were looking at them as, these are the idiots who are talking to us. These are people who don't use big words. They're very simple with what they say, but clearly God is on them. And we still have Peter, who has so much to learn and so much to grab. So where does that put us? We're not Saul and we're not Paul. We're not Simon, we're not Peter. What are we? Are we somebody who spends all of our life saying, "I know"? Or are we somebody who's willing to learn? Who says, "Teach me. Here I am, Lord. What do you want to do?" What is our response? Are we like Ananias, who God shows up and says, "Hey, I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to scare you out of your britches"? Let me help you guys out. When we start gathering back together as a church, you're going to be scared. you're going to be scared. You're going to be scared that going down to the street on the straightway to go see a guy named Paul could cause you to lose your life. But here's the thing that you got to deal with is if God calls you, you got to go. Because to not lose your life for your king is to lose your life for eternity. And that's not okay. So then we have Cornelius in 10. Cornelius, who is, follow this, a Roman centurion, which means he has to claim that Caesar is God. Yet he doesn't. Do you realize how much trouble that could get him in? Do you realize he could be court-martialed? Do you realize he could lose his captaincy, him being in charge of all the people he's in charge of? The arguments are that Cornelius could have been in charge of up to 6,000 people or as little as 100 people. But what I want you to understand is Cornelius was in charge of either 6,000 people living or dying or 100 people living or dying. He was in charge of their lives, 100%. This is somebody who's in charge and the leader. And we jump into the situation of, okay, we've got Peter, we've got Cornelius, we still got to remember Tim, we got Ananias, and we've got Paul. What in the world is God trying to say to us today? Point number one, be teachable. Point number one, be teachable. What does that mean? When we go back through chapter 10, be on God's team. In order to be teachable, you got to be on team. To be teachable, you've got to be willing to listen to the teacher. You've got to be available. You've got to be open. One of the things that most educators know is when someone shuts them down and they're not willing to listen, it doesn't matter what you say. It's not going to penetrate. It's not going to get in. It's not going to reach inside of their soul and change their lives. And so one of the things that you're working as an educator constantly trying to do is to be able to reach them in a way that they would be willing to listen. And you and I have got to figure out that if we're not on team God, we're not going to be able to listen to the things of God. You see, Cornelius is on team God. He's worshiping God. He's giving alms to God. He's seeking God. But let me help you out. Cornelius is the enemy. I mean, you thought Paul was the enemy with Ananias early on when Ananias is in 9 said, go see Paul. He's like, he could put me in jail. He could kill me. Do you know what a Roman officer could do to you? Whatever he wanted could enslave you, could take everything away from you, could kill you, and wouldn't even have to put it on the report of the week of things that happened. You are that insignificant. Please do not think Rome was sweet and awesome and rainbows and lollipops. No way. That's not the way they got all that land. Be teachable. Be on team. Notice the people who are on Cornelius's team. Cornelius says to them, go and do this. What did they do? They went knowing their lives were on the line. But they went and sacrificed because they understood being in authority and being under authority. They understood how to be led and they understood how to lead because notice how they lead Peter in a little bit. The next one, in order to be teachable, not only be on team, you've got to be dependent. To be teachable, you have to believe there's something you don't know. And again, you've got to deal with your pride. If your pride is on you that you've always got to earn an A and you keep getting a C and you're just angry that you didn't get an A, you're missing the learning possibilities. Getting a C or a D and an F recognizes and shows you what you don't know so that you can go learn it. That's how life works. So praise God for D's and F's. Praise God for C's and B's. My kids have been talking with me and they're like, you know, I'm going to paraphrase this. Dad, what's the worst grade you ever got? I said, microbiology. I earned a solid F. Like I had so failed, I earned all of it. Like 32% F is what I earned. I remember the professor calling me forward and saying, what are you doing in this class? And I was honest with the professor. It fit my schedule and I needed to take a science. And I thought, well, if it was biology, wouldn't it be easier if it was smaller biology? Like there'd be less information we had to learn. And this medical doctor looked at me and he's like, I don't even know what to say to you. And I just was like, I'm sorry. I'm the guy in the back of the class with a microscope looking at something in microbiology, and I'm singing the U2 song, "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." Literally singing it in class, and the professor is dying laughing. This professor was so sweet to me, brought me forward and just said, "Look, you try with everything you got. You come to every class, you come to every study group, you try as hard as you possibly can, and I promise you, you will pass this class." He passed me with a C-. Did I earn that C-? No, I earned an F solid. But by grace, that man gave me a C-, and probably more importantly, didn't want me to repeat the class, and got me out. Be flexible. To be teachable, you have to be flexible. Being teachable means you don't get to be in charge of when you're taught. Cornelius is doing what he's doing, and the angel shows up when he wants to show up. Peter is praying, by the way, not at the established times that you're supposed to be praying. He's praying at an odd time, which means Peter's a little bit more flexible and probably doesn't follow too many rules. But Peter's praying at lunch, and God shows up in the middle of lunch. He's hungry. "God, I don't want to talk to you right now. I want to eat food." Doesn't God show up in those times when you don't want to be teachable? And don't you, in your pride, get angry? "I want it when I'm ready to be teachable." Well, let me help you out. If you're arguing, "I want it when I'm ready to be teachable," you're not ever ready to be teachable. Be flexible. Those guys had other plans. Cornelius sends them on their way. Next one, be foolish. They go into Joppa and they yell around, "Simon, Peter! Is there a dude named Simon who's a tanner? Is there a house of Simon the Tanner?" Like, they're literally going into Joppa trying to find two Simons. They were willing to make a fool out of themselves so they could find and accomplish the task of what they were supposed to do. And those of you guys who've been with me, to touch the white fence, you've got to be a fool. You've got to be willing to be made fun of. You've got to be willing to look different and odd and strange. To be teachable, you've got to be leadable. To be teachable, you have to be leadable. Peter comes down and goes, "What in the world are you guys here for? Please explain it to me." Obviously, Peter's got to, he's just went through all this stuff. He's perplexed. He has no idea what's going on. Crazy dream, stuff that he's not supposed to touch. God's saying do. What in the world's going on? You've got to be leadable. Peter says, "Okay, take me where you want me to go. I'm going to bring some people with me. Let me help you guys out." 31 miles away from these two places. 2 days travel to 3 days travel between the two places. Basically, Joppa is on the west coast of, well, actually on the Mediterranean, but west of Jerusalem. Okay, Caesarea is straight north, 31 miles up on the Mediterranean at the exact same place. You've got to travel. It's going to take some effort. It's not going to be easy. You got to go. It's uncomfortable. Peter had other plans. He was going to play golf later on that day with some friends, but now he's got to travel. Be honest. If you want to be teachable, be honest. Be honest with what you don't know. Be real with yourself. Be real with others. And be real with God. Be honest about what you don't know. And the other thing is, be honest that you can learn more about what you know. One of the things that I've learned about Scripture is I have forgotten more Scripture than I can even imagine. If you don't use it, you lose it. And I have to constantly go back and refresh myself. We have Madge, who's inside of our church, and she asks me some of the craziest questions on the face of the earth. And I may have known the answer a while ago, but I don't know it right now when she asks me. And I'm like, "Madge, I got to look that up. I'll get back to you." It's okay to admit, I don't know. You know what's worse is pretending like you do know and trying to fake it till you make it, especially with things that are eternal. Don't do it. To be teachable, be humble. Be humble. Peter walks in, they drop down they start worshiping, and Peter says, "Stand up, I'm a man. Stand up, I'm a man. Get up, don't get me in trouble. Don't you worship me." You know what's worse? Don't accept the worship of others. I mean, you really want to find out if you're egotistical? You really want to find out how absolutely prideful you are? Thirst after worship. Hello, Instagram influencers. Putting filters on your life to make it look like something you are when you really aren't. By the way, that's called fake. Okay? It's not real life. Point number one, be teachable. Okay, being teachable is really easy on the easy stuff. It's really easy to be teachable on the easy stuff, but let me help you out. If you've been a Christian longer than 7 years and you've actually been faithful in the process, God starts to take you into upper division. And upper division is not easy. It takes more energy, it takes more humility, it takes even more effort, and God loves to do it in groups. Most of you, you want to be teachable when you want to learn. You want to be self-led. You want to be self-instructed. Trust me, I understand that. That's how I want to be. I want to be in control of my learning process. Let me help you out. God's the one in control of my learning process, which means I have no control of my learning process. And God also loves me to learn in groups. He wants me to learn from other people that I wouldn't be willing to learn from. I find it hilarious that I'm your pastor. I am not the best speaker. I'm not the best looking. I don't have the charisma to say things that people are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he said that. I so want to do it. Let's buy two. Like, I don't have those abilities. I am the simplest of the simple. I am the smallest of the small. I am the one that when I'm in a big room of really important leaders, it's like I'm not even there. I'm very aware of that. But one of the things that I've learned is that God has me teach leaders. God has me train up men and women to serve him. And what I've also learned is those are some of the most difficult people to train. Some of you guys are thinking about you right now and you're thinking, and I'm just talking to Darren right now. Right there. It's true. Darren came to me when he came to Chicago and he was telling me all the stuff that he knew. And what I taught him was, first forget everything you know, start over. And that was frustrating for Darren. But Darren did it. And he went through the process. And it wasn't fun. Darren wasn't thinking, man, I want to spend some more time with Nathan. After I walk away from it, I'm so encouraged. I feel so much better about myself. I walk away and he's like, Darren, you're the greatest person on the earth. Keep it up. He's like, Nathan's such an encourager. No. Darren shows up and God's like, hey, talk to Darren about these things. David shows up, talk to David about these things. Holly shows up, talk to Holly about these things. Insert your name. You've had the conversation with me. Sorry, not sorry. I've got to be obedient to my king because I want him to bless me more than I want you to bless me. But that is a struggle. I do want you to like me. I do want you to be like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to spend time with Nathan because I come away closer to God. I would love for that to be true. But think about this process as Paul enters in when you start to read the rest of Acts. When they show up, things change. When Peter shows up, things change. They show up, people lose businesses. People have to change jobs. People have to live and or to leave their families and live another life. Stuff changes when God shows up. So think about it. Let's just write down in our notes right now. I'm actually really sinful. I don't want God to show up because I don't want anything to change. Yep. But I'm even more sinful. I gripe and I complain at God that he's not good and he does nothing. But the reality is I don't want him to do anything. I just want to complain. So we've got to be teachable. Oh my gosh, there's so much in 10. There's so much going on in this process. Look at some of these verses as we jump back. Verse 17, Peter is inwardly perplexed. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been inwardly perplexed at what in the world God is doing? Hello, I'm a pastor in Chicago. I am inwardly perplexed. That's just me. Lord, what are you doing here? Man, I thought we were going to come here. 30 people moved out, man. We were going to do a little mega church in Logan Square, and we were going to buy some property, and the property was going to have parking, and the people could use parking on the letter. You know how important parking is in Chicago? And here I am in a basement teaching, like an underground little studio. And there you are in your living room or your bathroom. I don't know what you're doing, just to be totally real. But what I want to be honest with you guys is that this isn't the plan, is it? We got to be flexible and we got to be teachable and we got to be willing to go through what God wants to go through with us, and we've got to be available to it. Peter's inwardly perplexed and he's trying to figure out what in the world is going on. I was inwardly perplexed years ago when Pastor Rocky left the church and one of our main teachers had left, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, we don't have another teacher. And I was praying and praying and praying, like, what is going on, God? What in the world are you doing? And God's like, no, you have a teacher. And I was like, God, I don't see this teacher at all. Guys, I fasted. I walked away and spent quiet time alone. I mean, I went to all the super deep spiritual levels of trying to figure out what in the world's going on. I didn't casually ask on a Friday, God, what do you want? I didn't do that. I put all the effort into it. And God goes, no, the teacher's right next to you. I was like, I don't see the teacher. And so we're sitting there on a Monday night and we're all around the table. It's back before COVID when you could meet together and you didn't have to be socially distant. It was really cool. We had tables and chairs and people would sit close to each other. It was like, you'll see photos of it, because I know you're watching movies now and you're shocked that they're standing next to each other and you're angry that they're not wearing masks. Has that happened to you yet? I'm like, they're not social distancing. It's a cartoon. They don't have to. And you can tell you my level of what I watch. What I want you guys to understand is I was sitting at the table and all of a sudden God goes, it's Tawny. I want her to teach. And all of my maleism, women can't teach in the church. Women can't do this. Women, 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 women. And God just slammed on me. He's like, you really think you're that good as a male? Like, you really think you bring all that awesomeness? And I was like, well, that's kind of harsh. Like, I mean, I thought you would least be a little bit nicer rather than giving me an F minus, but thank you, Lord. And God's like, let me ask you a question, Nathan. Who gives the gifts? And I was like, oh, that's a very easy answer. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives the gifts. It's very clear. It's all throughout teaching. There's no argument in that inside of seminary and among pastors. God goes, right. Is Tawny gifted to teach? Dang it, she is. God, you realize it's going to cause problems. God's like, I love causing problems. I love dealing with arrogant Christians who are so stuck on themselves, they have no clue who I am. And I'm like, oh, I'm the arrogant Christian who has no clue who you are. And God's like, you're learning. Why don't you trust on what I've blessed with? And I said, okay. And I won't go into too much detail with Tawny's life and her direction because I don't have permission from her, but I do have permission from Chelsea, the other teacher. Let me explain to you why Chelsea gets to teach inside of Real Church. Chelsea gets to teach inside of Real Church because, number one, Chelsea is teachable. Chelsea gets to teach in Real Church because Chelsea is teachable. Like, if you go into Titus and you go into Timothy and you go into the standards of people who are supposed to be in leadership, they're not supposed to be arrogant and they're supposed to be teachable. That is one of the hardest things to hold on to, is to be teachable and not to become arrogant and try to prove to everybody what you know. Now, I love Miss Chelsea. She tried to prove to everybody what she knew. She went through it. She went through the prideful thing. And some of you guys know, you've gone through it too. God has shown up and your pride has reared its ugly head and you have lived your best life now. And God has watched you and he has waited for you to prodigal son and prodigal daughter return. And some of you guys right now inside of this church, you're in the prodigal son, prodigal daughter spot. You're sitting amongst the pigs and the pigs are eating better than you. Some of you, you've already experienced that process. You've gone on the trip. You lived your best life. You spent your money. You partied. You did all your stuff and you threw God away. And you realized this life sucks. And you want to return, but you're too arrogant and cocky to admit your plan failed. And so you've got to sit among the pigs for a long time till you get to the point that you're willing to walk back humbly to God and say, I don't want to be your kid. I'll just be somebody who works on your property. I'll just be a servant. Because the servants are taken care of better than anything else. They're loved better than anything else. They're protected better than anything else. I'll just be a servant. And that's what Chelsea had to go through. Chelsea had to go through the process of coming back and just say, I've got to be a servant. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Chelsea was mean to me, and she knows that. Like, I know she's sitting in this room, and she's like, Pastor, I didn't realize I gave you permission to say this. Chelsea was mean to me. She hurt me deep. And I had to go to God like, are you kidding me? And God's like, slow down. She's lashing out. That's not true. I'm like, but it hurts. And God's like, welcome to being a leader. When you love on people, when you care for hurting people hurt people. And you want to know if you're a hurting person, are you hurting people this week? Are you lashing out on Facebook? Are you stacking up AK-47s and then putting a Bible on top of it? If you are, please calm down. What I'm saying is hurting people hurt people, and I had to love through the process and wait for the process of the Holy Spirit to get a hold of Chelsea, to bring Chelsea back. And one of the greatest things about Chelsea, and one of the other reasons why she can teach, is because she wrote me an amazing letter of apology, and she owned it. She didn't just do, hey, Nathan. I mean, you know, like, you know what, like, I don't have to say it, right? I mean, like, we're good? No, she didn't do that. She owned it, and she penned a letter. And I think she even mailed it to me. I mean, that's how crazy it was. It wasn't even email. It came with a stamp. Like, I mean, oh my gosh. What I want to share with you guys is Chelsea can teach at Real Church as long as she's teachable, but the moment she becomes unteachable and she cannot get out of that process, she loses her right to teach. I lose the right to teach when I become unteachable. Nick will lose the right. Michael will lose the right. Any of you will lose the right when you become unteachable. And here's the thing I want you guys to see. The power of the Holy Spirit comes upon those people who are teachable. Ooh, sit there. Let me help you guys out. There's people in our church who need to be healed. I'm going to cry. There's people in our city who need to know Jesus. And we're wondering why we're here. We're wondering why we're stuck in this place. And God is saying, I want you to be like Cornelius. I want you to call out so that people can know. And I want you to be teachable. You're in a place of power. You're in a place of strength. You, for every reason in the world, you don't have to be humble. And God is saying, humility unlocks my kingdom. Unlock the kingdom. Not only does Cornelius call for Peter, but he tells his family and his friends, get to my house, be here. Somebody important is coming who's going to teach the word of God. Guys, stop inviting people into a casual, just come to church. Start inviting them into a place that will change their souls forever. Start inviting them to a place that absolutely the word of truth can be taught. You want to know why you want to come to Real Church? Because Pastor Nathan, Chelsea, and Nick are going to teach you the word, and they're going to tell you what the truth is, and you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, are going to have to realize, I need help and be dependent on God, and you're going to have to walk in the strength of the Lord, and the glory of God is going to fall upon us, and his joy is going to be in us, because our God has blessed us. Amen? Amen. That's the process. But somehow, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Guys, let me be super real. As a pastor, I want to throw stuff when people say to me, God just wants me to be happy. Please show me that verse. Please show me that book of the Bible. It's not there. God wants you to be dependent, and God wants to refine you as gold melting at a high temperature. Not a lot of happiness there. Point number two, be a teacher. Point number one, be teachable. But here's the problem. What are you teaching? Are you re-manifesting arrogance? Are you re-manifesting sexism? Are you re-manifesting racism? I mean, gosh, guys, come on, look at this. Verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Praise God for verse 35. because I was on the outside. I wasn't on the inside. I wasn't born with privilege. I was born on the outside. I had to be adopted and grafted in because of Jesus Christ. That's the privilege I have. I'm a Gentile. I'm a minority. I'm on the outside. I wasn't picked in God's kingdom. And I need to have the heart of somebody who was picked that shouldn't have been picked. And I need to have grace and excitement that I want other people to be picked. And I can't have this anger against African Americans or against Asians. Or you know what? Here's the bigger one that's coming up. Let me just be super real. White anger. People being angry at white people because they're white. You didn't get to choose what you were. They didn't get to choose who they were. And God's kind of the creator of all. And if you're angry at any of his creation, you have a problem with God. It's not okay. Satan's going to find a way to destroy this world one way or the other. He loves both sides of the coin. Don't be fooled. Be a teacher. Teach other people what you have learned. Teach them to be on team. Teach them to be dependent. Teach them to be flexible. Teach them to be foolish. Teach them to be leadable. Teach them to be discerning. Teach them to be honest. Teach them to be humble. Teach them to be a testimony. Your life describes more of who you are than your words do. Yesterday, I was so exhausted. Yesterday, I was so done. I took two naps. Anybody who knows me knows that doesn't happen. Like, I just walked around in the house on Saturday and I said to my family, I'm gonna go take a nap. And they were like, that would probably be best. Like, I mean, they just knew, like, you're done. And last night I got invited to a group that wanted to hang out. And let me be super real. I didn't want to hang out. I was done with the amount of words I could speak. I was done with the amount of words that I could listen. I knew that I had to have energy for today to teach. I was just done. Have you been there? And there's still more that God wants you to do. Walk in the strength of the Lord. Amen. Don't walk in your own strength. Don't walk in your own power. Lord, help me. Help me be a teacher. Help me be someone who does this. What is a teacher? You're like, Pastor, I don't have the gift of teaching. Well, you got a problem. The Great Commission is go therefore into all the earth, making disciples. Teach them everything that I've taught you. That's what we're supposed to do. We're all supposed to teach. Sure, there's different levels of responsibility, but we all teach. So be a teacher and give as you have received. Do not bring condemnation on people. I've not taught you that. Yes, I've brought some tough love with massive amounts of grace. And if you haven't seen the grace, you've missed my teaching. If you haven't seen the grace, I've failed as a teacher. Grace. Grace for those who are seeking after God. Grace for those who recognize they can't do it enough. Let me be super honest for you. It's actually condemnation for the arrogant and the prideful who don't think they need anything. It's coming. Read Revelation. Read the Old Testament. Listen to Jesus' words when he talks to the religious leaders in the Gospels. Read anything Paul wrote. It's kind of like all of Scripture. James is pretty chill. Nope, James takes you on too. Be a teacher. So let me ask you some tough questions. Let me just jump into the pride circle. Okay, let me just get in here. I wore a nice little shirt with a collar, which makes it seem like I'm professional and presentable. But then I wore a hoodie, which makes it like I'm kind of calm. So whichever one you are, I can talk to you. I'm chill. We can be together. Who do you learn from? Seriously, who do you learn from? Think about it. Do you learn from Oprah? Who do you learn from? Bill Nye the Science Guy? Rachel Ray, Alton Brown. Who do you learn from? Who are you willing to learn from? But notice, even when you're watching Alton Brown on the Food Network, you're questioning why he's doing what he's doing. Really? You're questioning him. Do you see the arrogance? Who do you learn from? Let me ask you another question. This one's a little bit more painful. Who should you learn from? Look, let me help you guys out. One of the biggest problems we have inside of this church is, for some of you, I'm not your pastor. for many of you, I am your pastor, and you're growing leaps and bounds. Now, I'm not talking, no, I call you pastor. No. Am I your pastor? Sure, you can say that Cornelius is your boss, but is Cornelius really your boss? When Peter says to the six people with him, hey, we're going to go north, was Peter really their leader? They were going to go on a journey where they could lose their lives too. Crazy, right? When you start to think about it. Look, I don't have to be your pastor. Find somebody who is. But let me help you out. You don't get to pick who your pastor is. He does. You need to ask God, and that's part of humility, of who do you want me to serve? Who do you want me to be alongside with? Who do you want me to walk with? Who do you want me to teach? Who do you want me to lead? Those are hard questions. But we teach in America, you can go to any school you want to go to. You can just apply. You can be anything you want to be. And let me help you guys out. That's not true. God has a plan for your life. He has a school where he wants your kids. He has a job where he wants you. He has a city where he wants you. We're going to get to Acts 21 where God says, I have defined your boundaries and I have placed you where I want to put you. A lot of Christians like to avoid that. Because we have freedom. No, you don't. Who do you learn from? Who should you learn from? Let's just pause for some repentance, can't we? Many of you guys in here, you're educators. You teach people on a daily basis. Can you imagine if they were actually willing to learn from you? How would that change the dynamic in your classroom? More importantly, how would that change that person's life if they were willing to learn? So let's just repent for a second. Let's just admit, God, I'm arrogant. God, I want to be in charge of what I learn from. I want to be in charge of my life. But the truth is, you, God, can see anywhere where I'm at. You can give information on where I'm going to get a job. You can tell my boss where to hire me from to go to Joppa and look for a dude at someone's house named Simon who's a tanner. Like, God, you have connections. So how about I let you be God and trust in your sovereignty and be humble? Let's repent, right? Who do you teach? This week, my wife and I had, she would call it a discussion. I would call it an argument. We like to argue about the terms and definitions of life. She yelled at me from across the room in a very passionate voice. Do you always have to fix stuff? Are you always teaching? I had to sit and think about that. Now, the answer is yes, but I use a cuss word, then the answer yes. But because there's young ears, mainly Siobhan, I don't want to. She's like, I'm joking, Siobhan. You are very young, but very old at the same time. And hopefully both of those are a compliment. Sometimes we get in trouble because we're teaching when someone's not willing to learn. And we're wasting our time. And sometimes we're teaching so that we can feel good about ourselves, like we have something to offer. And I'm a servant, and I have something that I can give you, and I can see how it can help you. And so there's a lot of pride wrapped up in discipling and training and teaching. There's a lot of arrogance, a lot of self-fulfillment in it. I just had to sit in that and just listen and think, yeah. But let me help you guys out. There's also a time to teach when they don't want to listen. And you still have to say what you're supposed to say because you're supposed to speak truth. And maybe your name's Stephen and rocks get thrown at you. What's that answer? I don't know. But it constantly takes prayer and adjustment and conversation and sitting in it. Does it take tons of energy? Yes. Why do you think I'm so tired? Why are you so tired? Because we're spending tons of energy trying to discern what God is doing and what he's up to. Praise God. What a great place to put our energy. Who do you teach? Next question. Who should you teach? Are you teaching people who aren't listening and you're avoiding another person who's so desperately wanting to hear the truth of God? Are you thinking it would be so great if I could just share the gospel with this person, but that's not who God wants you to share the gospel with. He wants you to share the gospel with that person. But you're not even listening. Like you're unaware. I can go through so many stories of failure in my own life of me doing that I thought this is the person and God's like, no, it's over here. And I'm like, you don't know God, it's this person. And And God is like, oh, Holy Spirit, we got to work more on that one. And Jesus was like, turn up the heat. So who should you teach? Let me help you out. Start with you. Teach yourself to be the man and woman of God that you're supposed to be by establishing the truths that you need to have, the character you need to have, the foundations you need to have, so that you are a follower of the King. Recognize you can't do it. So the King has to teach you how to do it. If the Holy Spirit has to show up and keep teaching Peter after he spent 2.5 years with Jesus, don't you think you and I need it? Absolutely we do. So let's be humble. So here's our application. I've gone long, I apologize. Where the pain is, the Holy Spirit is working. Recognize that right now in your life where you're in pain, where you're hurting, where you want it to stop, where you want it to quit, I promise you the Holy Spirit is at work and he's teaching you something. And maybe for you it's the times eights that I've talked about in my own life. You just keep missing the lesson. And so God's not going to move you on. God is not going to push you to fourth grade when you don't know how to pass third. God is going to keep you right where you're at because he loves you. Where there's pain, the Holy Spirit is working. Write down in your notes right now where you're hurting. And then right next to it, the Holy Spirit is at work. God, show me how you're working. Reveal to me how you're working in this moment. A lot of times we accuse that God is not there, that God has forgotten us, that God doesn't see. How about you flip that to a truth? God does know what's going on. God is working and God does see. Let's start putting truth into our lives. Let's teach ourselves the truth. The last point. Ask God to produce in you a teachable heart, mind, and soul. One of the coolest blessings that I've received is listening to Miss Madge talk to me. And she said to me, and I don't have her permission, but she said it enough in so many different places that if you haven't heard it, I don't think you're listening. She has said, Pastor, it is so amazing that my life, I get to spend time with you and you teach me the word of God and you point to me to the King like no other pastor has ever pointed me. That's a great compliment to me. Because I have sat in services where I have listened to a sermon that had nothing to do with Jesus. And it was terrible. And I just opened my Bible and I was like, King, you got to share with me something. And he's like, point number one, don't do it that way. Point number two, read the scripture. Sometimes that's what you learn. Sometimes you just learn bad leadership. But sometimes you learn great leadership. Ask God to produce in you a teachable heart, mind, and soul. And that's how I'm going to close it out. I'm praying in my own life that God would teach me how to grow my own heart, how to grow my own mind, and how to grow my own soul by giving it to him and letting him do it. Let me help you out. If you're always the smartest person in the room, you live a very terrible life. Get other people who are more brilliant around you who can teach you and who can lead you and who can show you and who can love you. Man, if that's not a lesson for marriage, I don't know what is. If that's not a lesson for parenting, I don't know what is. If that's not a lesson for being a contractor, I don't know what is. If that's not a lesson for being a teacher at North Park University, and that may seem really specific. Guys, get what I'm trying to say. If you're a teacher in CPS, get around better teachers than you who can teach you how to do stuff. Me as a pastor, I get around better pastors than me. Put that in your life, and we will all benefit in the community that God put us together in for his glory so that his gospel can go up and out. And one day, somebody's going to invite you into their house and their family's going to be sitting and they're going to say, tell us about this God. Oh, super cool. Super cool. May God receive all the glory. May God receive all the praise. May God continually teach us because he is the good teacher. He's the good shepherd. May the Holy Spirit remind us of what we've forgotten. May the Holy Spirit empower us to be what we cannot be. And may God the Father speak words of love over us in prophecy that he loves us and we are his kids. Amen? Amen. May God bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you, and may you and I be teachable. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful warm Sunday.